Best week of the year. Best week of the year. WrestleMania a couple of days ago. We've got the Masters coming up in a few days. Apologies if I squint during this show. I've got a light straight in my eyes. And I'm lit like Jerry Seinfeld's girlfriend, later episode of Seinfeld, when, remember the two separate
good light,
lights?
Bad light.
In good light, she was good looking. In bad light, she was hideous. Well, I'm the hideous version. So
if this is bad, if this is bad light, holy hell, you are airborne. I think you look quite good.
Mate, I can't see. There's a light directly in my face. Anyway, hello, gentlemen. Joel Kane, hello to you.
Oh, get him a pair of sunnies. This is fantastic. I'll tell you what, Shawnee, the listeners, the viewers, if only they'd seen the last 10 minutes.
Peek behind the curtain.
Oh, the
shadowing. What they want. What they shadowing. Need.
So then they fix up the light. Now it's just gun barrel onto his pupils.
I actually can't see.
Well, little tease. Mate, we can't confirm anything. Yeah. Maybe there will be a little peek behind the curtain later in the year. Forget him on side.
Oh.
Subscribers.
What, round 11-ish?
Little tease. Yeah.
Yeah, just say it's a sporty at Magic Round. I'm not in the mood to just dilly-dally today.
I can tell.
Sean, well, you're in a good mood for someone who can't get a best bet in your head, Sean. Great mood. I mean, remember Joel, how bullish he was. Yeah. 12 in a row, boys. 12 in a row. The minute we go on TV, you notice this, we only went on TV 2 weeks ago. Have your last two best bets gone, Sean?
I'm a little bit rattled. You were rattled last week with your feed bets. A lot of green ticks in your feed this week, Dan, so well done. I'm a little bit rattled.
And you deserve that, though.
What's that?
Unders bets have got to be banned from best bets.
Yeah.
It's a shocking bet.
Can I mount a case in my sort of defence?
Yeah.
38.5, tipped, declared, went off 34.5. So you're on a bit of value. It's not always the result,
is it? That's right.
Anyway, no, I am rattled. I'm still 4 wins, 2 losses. So we're still in front.
Hang on. What did you just say? Hang on. We're going to get to that, actually, in the so right, so wrong. But read out the email. By the way, we are, again, on Fox after Maddie's show. And again, thank you. Big audience watching.
Huge.
Which was surprising, to be honest, because the week before was Easter. So you think, oh, well, people stay up late because it's Easter weekend. No one's working on the Friday. But people seem to like the show. I don't understand it. But, hey, keeps us getting paid. Sean?
And they love the email address as well. Bursting at the seams. Get them on site at sportsbet.com.au. And we've got a little email, Bambi, directed at he with bad lighting today. The one Dan Ganane. So I'm going to write, this is from Daniel, and he sent
this
a few emails.
One
in.
You've made up?
Or this is legit.
Like Daniel, last week's poem?
Whack him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This is Daniel, so thank you, Daniel, for sending in. But this is a little swipe at you for a goodbye that occurred on the weekend. He goes, you can really tell that Dan has been burnt in the past. Waiting until Dylan Edwards was on the 20-metre line with only Nathan Brown chasing him. Then he said, goodbye. You could have called it halfway. Are you just...
TV, I have to. Because that the minute I get that wrong, and look, I've brought it back a little this year, because we get, especially big crowds, and that was a great... that was a good atmosphere on Saturday night. So that was where it sort of, you know, you build up and the crowds are going nuts. But yes.
You haven't got one wrong though, have you?
No. But the minute I do, that's the end of goodbye.
Ooh. That's goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye. And it is right. If it was radio, I would have called it on the 40. TV, I just got to make sure. I just got to be careful.
If that happens, if there ever is a goodbye to the goodbye, we're having an actual funeral, wake. Yeah,
I like that idea.
Kick and caboodle.
But also, I could have done one for Sel. Who would have thought Selwyn Cobbo was going to get run down by Tom Bearden?
Yes.
And that's the problem. Because the minute you think you're home is the minute you're not. Then someone takes a tumble or Tom Dearden comes from nowhere.
Could you not reverse it in real time and add a bit more theatre? Would that not add to it even more? Get it wrong and then go...
I get it. Kingston Town can't win. I like the idea. But you know what? It's probably being overdone as it is. So we probably don't need to add more. Thank you for the observation, though. It's a very good observation.
What about Ezra Mann when he was like a semi-goodbye and then all of a sudden he just stopped? Did you see where he stopped? He got that intercept.
He turned around and offloaded it.
And then he just stopped.
Yeah.
And it was like elevator music was being played. And then he just goes bang.
Speaking of Ezra Mann, we've sort of spoken about peek behind curtains today. Our esteemed producer, Gibbo, is now called Ezra Mann. I was waiting in a cab for him. We went out for a couple of beers last week. Waiting in a taxi as he relieved himself in the bathroom. I did the right thing, went out, got a taxi. And as he got into the cab...
And before you go on, sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
How would you explain his hairdo at the moment?
Well, it's luscious.
Ellen DeGeneres-like?
It's Ellen DeGeneres-like. It's long, it's luscious, it's thick. And as he got in the car, the cabbie sort of turned around and said, "Ah, hello, ma'am." So Ezra's stuck.
Ezra, yeah, ma'am. Yeah.
And he was having a bit of a nightmare out there with the printer. Very Dennis DeNudo-esque before. So we're just lucky we've got some run sheets and everything, yeah, on board here.
So okay.
For people who don't know, by the way, too, they are two different shows.
Yes.
So the podcast which you're listening to or watching now is different to what you see after the Matty John show, to which Gibbo said, "Mate, for the Matty John show after that, I've only got the first two pages printed out for you." So I'm flying blind.
Mate, you should have seen him banging the tray four. It was good stuff.
And we had a lot of debate about which do we record first. I, of course, said, look, the loyal listeners that have been part of this show need to be looked after. We need our prime energy for the first show, and I'm glad to have won that. We need the TV show we record second.
We have to give you little wins along the way just to sort of keep you focused.
Let's get to some speaking of wins. So right, so wrong time. Now, I deliberately don't read these rundowns until we get on air. And I'm seeing here, boys, so wrong with the unders. Boys? Ooh. Well, I'm fascinated to see how
two
this plays out.
Two struggling attacks, but both defending very, very well. 38.5, I can make a good case for.
But at full time, the Bulldogs 30 have beaten the Roosters 26.
Looking at the scraps that were left for me, I've taken Dolphins, Tigers, unders.
Dolphins 26, the West Tigers 16.
Yeah, lighting was bad last week too.
Protest.
Under.
Protest.
43.5.
42.5.
Well, that said 43.5.
Oh, whatever. Take your pick.
What? My bet, his bet, his bet, it's at the moment of conception, okay? It's at the, and that was the Immaculate Conception, that bet. That even then we didn't deserve to win. I don't know what it dropped that. I don't know what the...
I think it got down to 40.5.
Well, I can't help the weather and I can't help when people make their investments.
Can I just say something on this? Sometimes our best bets, well, quite often, which validates our best bets, the line shifts. So quite often we'll put it on the feed. So that's why you've got to keep an eye out on the feed. So my best bet, yes, the line, which we'll talk about later, that you would have got by following me on the feed is better than what you're going to get today. And yours would be the same, I reckon, Sean.
Yes.
So all three on the feed.
And on the, yes, and on the hub, the, what do you call it? The Get 'em On Side hub, or the weekly hub.
Yep. Yeah.
You would have noticed the best bets are all put together at the odds or line that we pick at on the day.
Yes. So find the feed on the home screen. Look for the green new button.
This is what I say. It's all about the number and the price that you take. 42.5 wins. People might have got on at 41.5 and they're on the floor.
Yep.
Sometimes you're unhappy that something was so right because it means more coach's corner here on Get 'em On Side. But Joel was bang on. I mean, this was a very prescient prediction.
So I'm going to talk about here the best anticipators in rugby league and why they score so many tries. Ezra Mehan's only got the one try coming into this round. However, he's missed so many times that close and he's always in the picture.
Arthur's with speed, kicks over the top of Pappenhausen, and Ezra Mehan with a glorious bounce. This is some game of footy. Oh, look at the ball bounce back. Ezra! Ezra Mehan explodes through the middle! See, the ball bounces for him!
Wow. Oh. Not once, but twice. Ezra.
Little wink from Sean there. Very happy with himself.
I missed that game. I was at Tom Jones.
Oh.
I'd probably prefer to be watching that game, yeah.
Tom Jones?
Yes.
Yeah, he's at 105 now, is he? Or?
No, it could have got a run in Bambi. It could have got a run in Bambi, but I'm going to let it go.
Where's Tom Jones playing these days?
The ICC Theatre. Like, he's still...
Still draws a crowd.
Big prices. Big prices.
Where did you sit in the sort of median age?
Oh, I was youngest.
Category.
Yeah, I was youngest.
I love getting an insight into your week.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I won't name names, but there's a stage play across the road. Have you seen that yet, Sean? One of the narrators, the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, yes.
Is across the road.
I have seen
and one of the narrators is one of your absolute favourites.
Do your own research with that one.
A sporting legend, an Australian sporting legend.
Oh, yeah, I saw this. Yeah. No. Yeah, well, won't be getting my money. No, Tom's voice is unbelievable, and he doesn't move around. That's okay. His choice of songs, very morbid. A lot of songs. I'm grey, I'm old, I haven't got long left, but what a life I've had. That was the theme of the concert. So it was actually very confronting for the crowd. But his voice is unbelievable. It's actually not fair that someone could have a voice like that at 83. Anyway, so there you go. You had a bonus, Bambi.
There was a lighting in there.
Better than here, let me tell you. The feed. He said it. Tick, 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 tick. Thank you. I figure if Souths are going to win, they're going to win. But if the Warriors are going to win, they might blow this away.
And that will do us. Convincing winners. 6 tries to 1. 34 points to 4.
All right. We're only going to play one. Okay. I think only one went to air, actually. But on the feed, there were a whole host of other victories on the feed.
Just bit. Very quickly. $2.95, Shug.
For a flare.
Is that play on?
It's not really my flair territory.
I would have thought, and I think we've said it on this program before, $3.
I don't remember those rules being set. Well, the only rule I remember being set was $1.90 for best bet. You couldn't be underneath $1.90. We all agree on that. I don't remember. If you want to make that rule, I'll go with that rule.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a rule. I just thought flair, $2.95 is a bit skinny.
I'd be working
but that's
on
just
your best bets. right. Now, unfortunately, due to rules, very stringent rules these days, Sportsbet can't put a market on who's going to coach the Bunnies in 2025, because I think you'd actually get a lot of takers on this. Where would Jason Demetriou be in the market for 2025? I'd say $10.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'd get many takers.
I think longer.
Mm.
It's sort of too far gone, isn't it? And I hate to say that. I hate this topic.
Mm.
But your question is going to be next is who's going to coach the Bunnies, right, in his absence?
Ooh. The only other recent scenario that comes to mind, similar to this, and it's not the same, but Adam O'Brien last year, but they weren't under the same amount of scrutiny.
Wasn't this deep. No.
And it took him winning 9 regular season games in a row and then 10 to save his job. They're not doing that. So it's gone. And I'm with you. It's a bit like a Tom Jones concert, a bit morbid.
Yeah.
If we're down to 80 minutes, it's over. The story came out over the weekend.
Where's that come from?
Well, what's important, Sean, it's come from someone at the club because no one's denied it. No one's come out and said, this story is garbage. It was in the News Limited papers and it was in the Fairfax papers or the Channel 9 papers. So it's been... It's softening the ground.
But a win,
it's a soft launch. It's a Demetriou sacking soft launch that Souths.
Yeah, okay. But a win doesn't get him a new contract. A win just gives him another 80 minutes until there's a...
They could well win this game. Have you seen who they got after the bye? I think it's Penrith and Melbourne.
Yeah, it's Crook.
So it's he's sadly not long for the job.
So who's the one?
Well, Bennett would be your favourite, wouldn't he?
I think he just goes in favourite any time a job comes up.
And what, Ben Hornby?
Hornby would be your second favourite. Because Ben Hornby could go have a really good back end.
What about Justin Holbrook? The Titans' decisions. But they're going to want a big gun, aren't they?
What about Jason Ryles?
Well, he's kind of there at Melbourne, isn't he?
Yeah, but he must be getting sick of Craig Bellamy going, just one more year.
Would Holbrook want to jump into...
Oh, you'd have to. A big club like that, you'd have to.
Absolutely, mate. Sean.
Yeah, I don't know.
Only 17 of these jobs.
Yeah, I know, but like how, I mean, surely he is burnt from his time in the seat over here this time. I know he's only done it once over here.
Johnny Cartwright, Smokey?
Let's, now we're just tossing up names. are the Titans going to win a game this year?
Oh, yeah, they will. But I think they're into about $1.70 for the spoon.
Wow.
Again, the team, speaking of my best bets, not going well the last couple of weeks, so keen on them to add a price to make the top 8. Never saw this coming.
No.
Never saw this coming.
You can't back $1.70, though, for the spoon, can you, Joe?
I can't. No. Not with this long to go in the season. But Desi's lost like 12 games in a row, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one. So the one issue with having Tom out of the game, the period that we just went through, 3, 4, 5 years... I don't think there's been as much, and I'm sure we had this discussion maybe back into last year, the amount of change that's happened in that period could be very easy for a coach who's had a great career and he's got a great win record long term to maybe have just missed the boat a touch.
Yep.
And maybe it's catching up with him. Just one theory.
Wade Egan is now suddenly, I love watching him play. The problem for Wade is he's got a bloke called Corrissair who plays the same way, I think, Joel, but slightly better. But they're both playing fabulous rugby league. Would you say it's right now, Coruscant, New South Wales, top seed, Robson probably two, Egan three, or would you have a different order?
But if you're asking about who'd be on my side, number 14, if he's fit, given the fact that Appy can play such big minutes, Ryan Papenhuyzen. Appy and Pappy.
As he 14, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't throw an Egan a specialised number nine for the limited time that you may need him. Ryan Papenhuyzen and Appy. Appy and Pappy. What do you
think? I think Egan is second only to Harry Grant in that position.
That's an outrageous claim.
Not really.
You got him ahead of Appy.
Slightly. Now, okay. Appy's clearly a gun, and he won't lose the jersey. It's his.
But he's also got the Cleary connection, Appy.
There's that. There's a few things going for him, but he can... obviously, defence is so important in Origin. He can miss a tackle, Appy. And Egan's defence is first class. He doesn't miss many at all. And he does everything. There was a clip that's been absolutely hammered so far this week, so we won't diagnose it too heavily. But that play to Chance through the middle, he's got creativity. He can score a try. He does everything.
All right. Newcastle, you can't take markets on that, can you?
Can't do that either. Can you talk about markets we can offer?
Well, there's not many. Newcastle Roosters, we've got a stack of markets on this game. This kicks off our Thursday night, our round number six Thursday night. Gee, I'm looking at a Roosters side. They are decimated. No Tedesco, no Walker, no Young. Lenu still a long way from coming back. So you've got Michael Jennings, Junior Ponga, spelled Pauga, but Junior Ponga on the wing, Nat Butcher back in the side, and Zach Docker-Clay has made the 17. Newcastle pretty settled after their win over St. George Illawarra. Joel, I don't know what to read into that win over St. George Illawarra. It was a very good win in horrible conditions.
Yep.
But that, to me, was almost a forget run.
Complete forgive run for both sides, really, even though they had the big win. I'm looking at Sean's flair bet here, so I think we're maybe somewhat aligned. Is we know the Newcastle Knights heavily, heavily tilt attacking the left-hand side. So Ponga loves going down that side. Hastings... loves going down that side, but they're up against a brand new right-hand side. So you're going to have Connor Watson there.
Yep.
You're going to have Michael Jennings there. Mm-hmm. You're going to have Ponga there. Mm-hmm. So neither of those three have been playing there. Neither of the three have been playing together. So it just feels like a very obvious side they're going to attack. I think this is going to be a breakout game tailor-made for Kai Pearce-Paul. I think he's the one. Hastings is a little teammate from back in England too.
Yeah.
So you're thinking similarly.
We'll cut to the flare straight away because we're reading the same playbook. KPP was certainly about to be circled. Bradman Best, two or more is my flare, purely for what you said. You throw Nat Butcher into that new edge as well. He's been injured. They wouldn't have played one game together, this combination.
Yeah.
But it's brand new and it worries me. We know Ponga, three try assists so far this year, all on that left edge. I just know there's going to be a lot of ball around that side of the field.
Yep.
Bradman Best, two plus. I mean, yeah. I don't think you can really go wrong, but KPP, as we call him, was very close to getting a runner at about $4.50 or thereabouts, just for one.
Sounds like you two are very keen on Newcastle for this game.
It's tricky. If they are fair dinkum with, and I'm not, to be fair, I'm not sure they are. They're not filling me with a great deal of confidence. But this is a game at home when you're up against a side who is just, you could throw names up in the air and this is where they've landed. Structurally, there has to be holes that can be found. They have to win this and win it comfortably if they are fair dinkum.
Newcastle, the best first half team in the Premiership, plus 32, 62 to 30. Terrible in the second half. And the Roosters are the best second half team in the competition. So do with that what you will. Melbourne Canterbury is our Friday 6 p.m. game. Melbourne, interesting decision. Sean Bloor has basically got Joe Chan's position in the second row. And watch out, number 22, Nelson. Nelson Asifa-Solomona might be back this week. They're 3-0 at home this year. The Dogs, that would have been the worst loss in the history of the game. If they went down to the Roosters with Young sent off, with Radley in the bin, with a 26-point lead, could have been the worst. It would have been officially the equal worst collapse in the history of the game. And I think with all those other caveats, the worst collapse. And they only just won. Ad O'Carr is in. Mann and Preston out of the side. But finally, Joel, we see Stephen Crichton with the number one on his back.
Yeah, his last three games at fullback in the competition, he scored in each of those. So he'll be loving that. Him versus Papenhuyzen. Just this side at home, Melbourne. I found this really hard to find a bet in. I've got a flare. I'll get back to that. How do you see it, Shawnee?
So it was 12.5, the early market was 12.5 in this game, and then the injuries happened for the Bulldogs. But as named, there's no way in hell they're going to run out as named, because I think a few of those in that starting 13, in the 17 in fact, are carrying injury. So look for a big shake-up. It's jumped out. I think it's 18.5 now, or 17.5 or thereabouts.
Wow.
Look, it's ready-made for a Melbourne Storm foot-to-the-throat sort of job. But it's a big line, and the same thing happened with the Titans-Cowboys game last week. I can't get these numbers that big to want to be with the Storm, but it would not shock me at all.
Now, I'm doing this game and went through some early stats, and I uncovered something, and I've even brought my own graphics for the first time. What about Joel? I said to Gibbo, can I have a graphic? He laughed.
A graphic?
A graphic.
This is one of the nichiest things I've ever seen.
Yep. Melbourne in the month of April, since 2018, are 17-2, or 17-3, but they've won 17 of their last 19. April is their best month. So I think of all the... Remember, Melbourne always starts seasons well under Craig Bellamy. Since 2018, 11-7 in March.
Is this an April Fool's gag that's 2 weeks late?
This is worth 4.5 at the line.
Okay.
I've never checked a cap.
I bet they don't lose in April.
Did you hear the traders chat? I heard them saying, what's the line at now, Sean?
I think it's 16.5.
Yeah, the chat, right, they said, what do you reckon for this? They said, it feels like about 13, 14.5. He goes, you know, it's April. I went, ooh.
Yep, maybe that's what it was. It's nothing to do with the injuries. It was 12.5.
10 straight at home in April.
In April.
The last time they lost, it took Latrell Mitchell playing for the Roosters to kick a long-range field goal. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, and that was 2019.
Good.
That's how long ago. Unbeaten in April. Mate, some of the niche crap that you blokes come up with, okay, just because you got it right with Ezra Mam doesn't mean every bit of genius and coach's corner is worthy of actually being put on air. I'm looking forward to your 8-minute dissertation on the Dally M Awards again.
Okay.
Just to prove that you were right the whole time.
Yes.
But thank you. Who's got the flair?
I have the flair, and April sun in Cuba. Look at this. The Dogs' exact total points. In fact, I don't know who else does this market. Sportsbet is the only one I can find who does this. Exact total points for the Doggies, zero, $11.50.
Wow.
But I'd have a saver on Crichton to score a try.
Okay. You've got that bet again. So that is your skinny latte for the week, I've noticed, Joel.
There's a 1, 2, 3 come up as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Broncos-Dolphins is our Friday night game, Battle of Brisbane. Reece Walsh is back. I think we were expecting that, weren't we? Jock Madden, who has done a pretty good job when he's filled in for Adam Reynolds, comes into the number 7 role. The Dolphins decimated, really. No Farnworth, no Corfusi. They've already lost Gilbert and Lemuelu. Tessie New comes in. The MILF is back. Wow. First game of the year.
Oh.
Desperate times. And Jared Wallace will play his second game for the year. The line is 8.5, Sean, as we do this. If Brisbane were full strength, this is probably 13, 14.5, I would imagine. But they're not full strength. No Haas, no Reynolds, no Piacora.
I don't know if it is that big, fully fit, the Broncos. Look, Reynolds, that game he missed is very hard to get a read on, because that was the game they lost. Who'd they lose on an edge?
That's when they pushed out Piacora to the centre.
That one.
Against Penrith.
That's the one.
That was a configure.
And Penrith completely lapped him. So you can't really read too much into Madden's recent form and the loss of Reynolds, but it's big. We know it's huge. The even bigger one, quite literally, is still Payne Haas. He is a massive out. And I'm not going to say they've been lucky with some of how they've scored tries this year, but the way they're playing this year is like vastly different. They were never a big like ball movement team in terms of just passing, but they offloaded heavily last year. They were third in offloads last year. They're ranked 12th this year, so it pulled it right back. And what that means is they're third last for line breaks. They were first last year. They're just not playing that real exciting Broncos footy that they did last year. And I think it's probably showing in how they're scoring. 8 tries from kicks. Not all tries from kicks are lucky,
no,
but a lot of them are. That's the most in the comp by far. And using the Melbourne Storm game as a perfect example of some of their tries, went 100 metres with 1 tackle, 2 from kicks in that game alone, the midfield bomb that the anticipator was all over, and a big crash ball for Ben, the big fella at the end. So, they're scoring, but they're not scoring real traditional sort of set up tries. So I give the Dolphins a massive chance here.
Wow. Well, they did keep it close, Joel, both games last year. I think the margins were 6 and 8.
Their spine's going really good. Hammer, Cody Nicarima, Katoa.
Katoa's flying.
And Marshall King.
Always underrated.
Yeah. They're going really good. I'm with you, Shawnee. The two games last year, there was a win by 6, win by 8, both for Broncos, but they went really deep. The Dolphins led late in both games. So massive crowd, which is fantastic, Battle of Brisbane. The Hammer has scored 20 tries from his last 24 games. He's completely airborne. And I'm with you, Shawnee. I just feel like it's a tad big.
Mm.
It was 9.5, but even the 8.5, I'm happy with it.
Herbie's a big worry for me defensively.
That's where my flair goes. Both centres are susceptible. Averill is a very good centre, but defensively, he and Tessie knew. Cobbo hasn't scored yet this year. With Walsh back, probably will unlock Cobbo on the left side and Katoni Stags and go and get tries on his own. They've only scored one try between them this year, but 475, a Cobbo-Walsh anytime double. Is that satisfactory? Are those odds good enough for you?
475 is great.
Right, that's flu-worthy of a flare?
That's north of $3, so it's all good.
Warriors versus Manly. This is Saturday, 3 p.m. in Auckland. Warriors, $1.49. DWZ is back. Kurt Capel is in. They've got the number one defence, the Warriors. And Manly, Ruben Garrick is out, so Ben Trbojevic goes into the centres. Haven't won away from home, Manly. They're so different at home. I got a feeling this could be a very big win for the Warriors. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. They are absolute legit. This is the best they've been
You're
placed.
You're convinced, aren't you?
Convinced. Mm. I'm so convinced. And I'm going to talk about in the main show after Matty Johns how you should be backing the Warriors.
You were close to getting a clip there.
Well, his mate doesn't like you calling that the main show.
The main show. The
main show's okay.
The main show.
Don't forget about the loyal listeners.
They're going good, real good.
Yep. I agree. It is tricky to get this line out the gate that far to really want to steam into the Warriors.
What is the line? Because I
6.5. I think it's 6.5 as we are speaking now.
That's not enough.
Might not just be enough, but up until last week, they weren't able to put teams away. For some reason, had all the ball, forwards dominating, plenty of good field position, but weren't able to put them away.
I watched the first 20-25 minutes of last week's game with South. They weren't that good for that period, and I really worried because I thought they're not clinical, but they were fortunate. They were playing an awful team who's not interested at the moment.
No,
and that's why they went on with the job. So yes,
your
concerns are well founded.
This is probably the good thing about them as well. Attack not really clicking yet, but still winning enough games and should have won the other two that they lost probably. So they're doing enough. I'd be leaning the way of the Warriors, but it's just hard to really get around them knowing that. And I think Manly are a good side, but this is a different story. Brookie was all set up for them against Penrith, up for it. Long way to go. Garrick's an out.
He's an out. Dan makes a good point though around the team they played. So the Roosters come out and pump South Sydney.
Yep.
Then the Roosters really haven't backed that up. But in the case of the Warriors, which you've already mentioned, Dan, their defence, that's the difference. Their defence is tip-top.
Yeah. So I think we're all on the Warriors here. And your flair, please.
My flair is both wingers. Now, this is a little fruity market to combine for three or more. It doesn't matter how they get to three, 2-1, or someone can score a hat-trick, doesn't matter. But it's both edges, Dallin and Marcelo. The Manly edges look susceptible. Garrick is an out. Burbo goes there. So we've got Burbo and Jackson Paulo. Burbo. Jesus. Together. Hey, brother of Turbo. Burbo.
Sean, mates with all the players.
And Gerbo. And Cola and Tommy Tilau on the other one. Now, Cola is an absolute jet in attack. Defensively, I just think they're susceptible and can be taken advantage of.
I like that Graham Annesley defended Todd Smith for allowing that Cola try to stand, yet Todd Smith is not refereeing this week. Make of that what you will. Probably didn't have a great game.
Maybe.
I like Todd. I like his demeanour with the players. Didn't have a great game.
No, that's fair.
But I knew, I wish we had markets on Graham Annesley. I knew he was going to defend that knock on. I knew he was. He's like one step forward, one step back. If he goes hard the week before, you can bet your backside he'll defend whatever happened the next week.
Yeah, good observation.
He's a politician, Graham Annesley. Yeah. Very effective.
Good operator.
Very good operator. Good bloke, too. Yeah. I like Graham Annesley.
Worst Monday in Australia, he must have, every week.
Oh.
Who's having a worse Monday?
I know.
Parramatta versus North Queensland is our Saturday 5:30 game, and it's at CommBank. Cowboys, very comfortable favourites here. Geez, you're getting a nice price about Parramatta. Dejan Azzi will go into the six role. So again, we've sort of got these running 5-8s with one having to go into halfback, which is Dylan Brown. Bryce Cartwright returned. Moses still gone. And for the Cowboys, another bit of low-hanging fruit for them with a win over the Gold Coast. Tom Chester replaces the injured Zach Labatt. I'm so sceptical of the Cowboys, Joel, just because we haven't seen them do it against a good team yet.
Yeah, so am I, but this Parramatta side without Moses, they were scoring 4 tries a game. That's down to 2. They're really not showing anything in attack. This side can pile on points more than anyone in the competition. Cowboys.
Remember we had the discussion maybe a month ago, it might have been when Cleary got injured, who is the biggest impact to a team. I think we might have had Moses maybe second pick or third pick.
Yeah.
I think he's number one.
Yep.
2, that's not saying he's the best player in the comp or whatever, but 4, you take him out of that team, they are almost no hope.
Yeah, the cover's a factor, as you say. The
cover's huge, and I'm shocked that they're running out Dylan Brown again in that 7 jersey, because it's just not working. We saw they had all the ball against the West Tigers 2 weeks prior.
Yeah.
Moses in that side, it's a 30-0 job at halftime. Couldn't score. Same thing happened. They were terrible. Defensively, their edges. I know Sivo's not there. He has to be injured.
No, I think he's dropped.
Well, the way he was moving in that game.
Sean, I don't think he's moved well.
I agree.
He's been a while.
A year.
Well, then he can't be playing first grade. Unless
he may be injured, but I reckon Brad Arthur's had enough.
He must be carrying something. I'm not convinced that is just an effort thing. So he's out. Sean Russell, Morgan Harper is back in. This is, I'm not convinced about the Cowboys either, but on a dry CommBank, it's a night game, but don't think it's going to matter. This is perfectly set up for them.
One thing I've noticed with the Cowboys, gents, so they are short $1.61, but when they're travelling to Sydney or Melbourne, wherever the case may be, quite often you know by halftime where they're at. So a lot of their games, due to the travel factor, how they've prepared, whoever's leading at halftime often wins the game when they're on the road.
Yep.
So I'm actually going to be backing the Cowboys through the feed. Half full.
Yeah, I like that.
The double-double.
Yeah, I like that. They're either turning up or they're not.
And skim latte time.
Here it is.
Extra strong skim latte. Tommy Dearden, he's just an early try scorer.
Woo! Yeah.
First, second or third.
Great anticipator.
650, he's a great anticipator.
Tom Dearden.
He is.
I have given a little nods to sports bet audiences in the past when Tom Dearden scores first again.
Yes.
Because I am well aware that he is a very good first try.
That's a flair bet you had.
That was early last year.
25 to 1.
I've got a first try scorer coming up because, a little victory, we can open up the shoulders. But I like that bet from Joel. South versus Cronulla. Could be funereal. I mean, how many South fans go to this game? It's starting to get cold in Sydney too. Weather's just turning, so oof. By the way, do you like the roof at Accor? I'm not going to get into the whole thing. Why? $300 million, that's nothing.
Mate, what a waste of money.
Oh, waste of money with stadium in Sydney.
$300 million?
But what's
it
going
to... It's not for sport, it's for concerts. It's so they can say to Taylor Swift or someone who only wants to do a bunch in one city in Australia, okay, you can go to the MCG and do 100,000, or you can be here, do 80,000, but no, you're guaranteed. That's why they're doing it. I think it's a fabulous idea.
Okay.
Mate, we're about to redo Penrith, and it's going to look pretty much the same as what it did for the same price.
For $300 million.
Well, that's what they're claiming. Anyway, I said we're not going to go on. That's our, okay? His coach's corner is my stadium chat. Jai Gray makes his debut at fullback, and South Sydney people would be praying he hits the ground running so they can say to Latrell when he comes back, I'm sorry, Latrell, but you've got to play in the centres. We can't drop this kid. Tyrone Munro, who did some good things last year, if I remember, 3 games, 3 tries. He comes back into the side. There's 5 changes from last week. Cronulla, just they are the quiet achievers. They are the BHP. The Quiet Achievers, that used to be their motto a long, long time ago.
BHP?
BHP, the Quiet Achiever. Weren't they the Quiet Achiever, Joel?
The blue chip
in
stuff.
The 80s?
Wow.
Britton Nikita comes back into the Cronulla side. This, speaking of low-hanging fruit, this for Cronulla, this is absolutely perfect opposition for them. I'll start with you, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, where can you start with South Sydney? I don't know how you can mount an argument to want to go anywhere near them and putting your hard-earned money on them, because I certainly can't and won't be. Tyro Munro, yeah, he's done some exciting things, but he doesn't solve an issue for them in making tough metres from the backfield.
Correct.
I just don't know. Where's the solution here to anything that we've seen so far? They're still conceding a lot of field position to the forwards. Clearly the issue. Damien Cook has been the casualty of that. Isn't it a hooker in Australia that could have done anything with that pack? I just can't make an argument for them at all, Sugar.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about in the show, the big show.
8.5 is the start.
Yeah, it's 8.5.
Well, that's what it's got here.
Not on the feed, my boy. On the feed, it was a little bit early. Look, Sharks.
Don't you just boy me.
Sharks, they will have a lot of field position here, and they are the best in the comp. And if you give them field position, they just cash in.
Just quickly on the field position. So the Bunnies have conceded 155 play the balls in that 20-metre zone. That's including the Bulldogs game. They conceded 51 in that game alone for only one try. That was more to do with the Bulldogs' attack. If you take that game out, they are by far and away the worst defensive 10-metre or red defensive zone, whatever you want to call it.
Do you call it a red zone?
The worst defensive red zone team in the comp by a country mile.
But have they also got, are they conceding the most play the balls there?
They're ranked 14th.
Yeah.
But a lot of that was through the Bulldogs, but they're still...
They don't have punch in the forwards. That's why
they've got nothing.
They've got nothing there. But here's my prediction, gents. I think they're going to start well in this game for two reasons. One, Cronulla's floor is they're terrible starters. In the first 20 minutes of games this year, -24. Outscored 30-6 in the last 60 minutes of games, +35. -24, +35. Should have got a graphic for that. and I think South actually will have a go. I'm not sure how long it will last, 10, 15, 20 minutes. So, Flair, woo! Jack Whiten. First try scorer. He looks the only threat South have, in all honesty. And I can see them giving him a crack. Is that Kyle Liddell's side, the right side? Or is that, no, Jesse Ramien's the right centre?
It's Whiten versus Ramien.
Okay, it's a good battle. I will take Jack Whiten first, $19. Satisfactory for Flair?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. If you're looking for a Sharky, I will share this.
Here we go.
No, you'll like this.
Joel's feedback. No, because Dan, you put a flare, but I'll let me
no, it's one not a flare. Up here. I'm just giving you an option here if you like the Sharks. Cody Walker has contributed the most line break and try causes in the competition.
Cody has amazingly avoided the spotlight.
Yes.
He's been worse, I think, form wise, than Latrell.
Have we ever, in the history of State of Origin, I might have said this last week, had an incumbent man of the match?
Was he out of the match in game three?
Incumbent man of the match, who's been healthy, miss the 17. Have we ever seen that?
Never.
And unless something drastically changes, we're about to see it.
Of course we are.
All right. West's Tigers versus St George Illawarra Dragons. Campbelltown gets a rare game. First game at Campbelltown this year, I think it might be. Bateman out. Dragons, Hame Sele comes into the starting front row. The Tigers, 1-1 against the Dragons last year. They were both very close. Sloan is interesting because there were reports that he was going to be dropped and Zach Lomax was going to be fullback, but I'm looking at the name team, Joel. Sloan 1, Lomax 2. So we all want Sloan to stay in that team. We all need Sloan to stay in the 17. So please, Shane Flanagan. Think of the little people that have an interest in Tyrell Sloan continuing to score tries.
Wing would be nice.
Well, yeah, but if he goes to the wing, then that's
one step closer
to out the door. Oh, just leave him where he is.
Yeah, okay.
Good game. I tend to think the Tigers here at home, but what do you reckon?
Oh, look, I think it's a flip of the coin, and therefore I've got to tip the Dragons at the price.
It's a very low game, let's call it that, for really wanting to get involved in. Sunday afternoon, generally sort of you would expect points. These two attacks don't scream at me 50 points in this game. I'm not going to have a best bet as the unders though. But it does lead me to my flair, and you've pointed this out a million times. The Dragons' right edge defence is... they've had a nightmare to start. They've had a nightmare to start the year. They were good. Jack Bird had a really good game a couple of weeks ago, but they're conceding a lot of tries, 10 tries, in fact, through that centre-right channel.
Yep.
And combined with the right edge, it's by far the worst in the comp. So you look to the Tigers left. The reason I'm going Alex Seyfarth first try scorer is I'm just worried about how many points are in the game. But again, he will. They have to throw a lot of traffic down that right edge because teams are having success there. So we go to him first, $23.
Ooh, that's a Rick nice flair. Benji will bring out that play again. You know the one that against Parramatta, the runner end?
Back. That was lovely.
He'll bring that out again.
Yeah. That was lovely. That was like watching something for the 1980s or 1970s.
Brilliant.
All right, we move on. Canberra, jeez. You reckon Tigers-Dragons is a bad Sunday game, Canberra versus Gold Coast. Well, Canberra's playing entertaining footy, no question about that. Chevy Stewart makes his first grade debut.
Is this the last Sunday, 6:15?
Yes. Not a great one to finish.
I thought that was last week.
Why do we do it?
Oh, it's a tough carry.
But why do we do it for?
Because they want to avoid two reasons. I think Fox like it, because you're going to get a lot more watching at 6:15 than at 2. But also, they're trying to just keep games out of the heat when they can. You can't do anything about Saturday.
Right.
Because you're already playing at a 7:30 game, so you can't move them back. So we go to 6:15. But they've got to get better matches. I've said this for years. If you're going to make Sunday night a thing, you've got to have better matches than this. Canberra versus Gold Coast. And the poor Canberra public, you're asking a lot for them to keep turning up on Sunday nights at that hole of a joint. That's a terrible stadium. Talking about stadium development, that's the one that needs to be redone. I love watching Ethan Strange play footy, Joel. To me, he looks like a young Jack White. Zach Hosking is back. Chevy, we saw him in the trials. Gold Coast. I mean, what's confounding is that he will not make changes, Des Hasler. Now, he could make changes to the name side, but he's pretty much named the same 17 that keeps losing.
Yeah, I want to talk about one thing, boys, where people get fixated on completion rates. Canberra's very good, second in the comp, 83%. Gold Coast decent at sixth, 80%. But it's really what you do with the ball. So the other stat you look at is pass receipts. Mm. So how often are you moving the ball around? Gold Coast Titans, despite how often they're completing, their pass receipts are last, which means, yeah, you're completing, but you're doing bugger all with it.
Yeah.
And that's why they're not scoring points.
And it's how they, Dave Fifita had his sort of busiest game, but it's not how you want to use Dave Fifita. He's in for like, you know, one out hit ups.
How Canterbury used kick out against the Roosters, 7 runs, and won the game for them.
Yeah.
Is how.
That's Fifita. How you.
It's all before the line, Dan.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It's telegraphed.
Yeah.
And we probably got a view as to why Desi is playing AJ Brimson in the centre position. His defence in the first half last week was unbelievable. He's such a good defender. He then moved to six when there was that reshuffle with 4 and off. So we got a glimpse. I don't know if he's going to make the change, but again, a bit like the Bunnies for a different reason. I don't know how.
You just looked at your screen. There's nothing on it.
No, that's a privacy thing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the team sheets.
Okay.
I don't know how you could be on them here. Raiders at home.
What have we got the line? Geez, 8.5, Joel, seems very thin. There's no respect for the Raiders.
No.
They should be 12.5.
Woo, here's the flare. And look, it's probably going to get chinned. They're going to jag a try somehow, or jag 2 tries. But just at the price, Titans, the boring, bland game they have been playing, unless that changes. So when they were getting flogged by the Cowboys last week, they started to chance their arm. They looked a better team. But if they play in that boring style again, exact total points, 0, $23. Woo!
Well, I like that. Best bet in sport, you know my feeling, the hardcore listeners, is the Quinella at a major, right? I jagged it again at the Players' Championship.
There we go.
It's the bet that
Little self-trumpet there.
It mightn't have been with...
Was it on the feed?
No, because this organisation may not have offered it. May have been another. The red one, and it was nice taking money off them. But I'll be doing all my betting here on Sportsbet for this bet, particularly because the odds are better. The odds are actually significantly better. Scottie Scheffler has to be in every bet you have for the Masters. He is so much better than the field this year, it's not funny. There is a bet, this is not my bet, three or more, he wins by 3 or more, $7.50.
Ooh,
outrageous odds. If he putts decently, he will destroy this field. Problem is, he can't putt. But I think his stroke play will be good enough for him to win. Will Zalatoris, his game is made for majors. He's done well at this course, and you are getting a Scheffler Zalatoris Quinella, $81.
Woo!
Dan, I'm not allowed to put that on the feed, because it would break my contract. It's $50 or lower. So I might break the rule just once for everyone.
Can I ask you this? Because the traders, and you know this game better than me, they're keen on Henley top 10 at about $7.
That's not bad.
On the basis that he's been peppering fourths for a long time.
Yeah, doesn't hit it far.
But apparently his putting's elite.
Yes. He's Augusta is the track where he can flourish because he doesn't hit it long, but it doesn't matter. It's approach shots where you put and putting that determines it. Other players to look for, Xander Schauffele doesn't win them, but he always seems to get close.
Paul Casey,
yeah, long gone. Brooks Koepka is another. Ludvig Åberg, he's the guy that broke his driver.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's going to win a major in the next 3 years. Ooh. Okay.
Who is he?
Ludvig Åberg. See, he laughs. He laughs.
Anyway, Ludvig. Let's get to how could you bit. Back someone called Ludvig?
Because he's going to win. That's why. Sean.
Yeah, I'm going to the, it's not the Battle of Brisbane, it's the Bennett Bowl, which we coined last year, and they're playing for the Bennett Bowl again, so that's going to be presented to the winner. Mm. I'll give the Dolphins a huge chance in this game, +8.5 right now, it'll be on the feed to get on. I think it might just trickle down. A bit annoyed I didn't grab the 10.5 early doors, but it has been backed. Yes, Walsh is named. Still a bit of doubt, so you might have that on your side. Tristan Saylor's on the bench. And it's still a big, I say still, because it's brand new, but it's a big rivalry. And I think Wayne Bennett will have the fins up for it, Dan.
Okay. You've got a lot of faith in the Dolphins, but I'm with you now because you're due. Joel.
look, I feel bad almost tipping this, but and on the feed, you've got -6.5 at the start of the week. It's out to 8.5, but early bird gets a worm. Sharks. Just a cruise by South.
Don't feel bad about
back I do winners. Feel bad
don't
about
feel
it.
Bad about
I feel
back
like we're climbing over the carcass.
Hubris. There's a lot of hubris about this. It's funny, you said I don't see many points in Tigers Dragons, but I don't know if I'd be betting the unders. So you were deriding my best bet, and you agree with it. 42.5.
I didn't realise that.
I just don't see.
You
yes, you did. You actually made a direct reference to me in the unders. Look, it is anti-football. I was watching that Dolphins-Tigers game. It really is unenjoyable when you're hoping for no tries. And when it got to 42, that was...
It was a rocky road.
That was a tough last few
minutes.
One
too.
I just don't see the Tigers score it, frankly, but their defence is so committed. Even everything went against them on Saturday and they conceded 26. That's about as it can be. I think they can... I can account for the Dragons' attack. There we go. But please enjoy and hopefully we can take it to the last leg. Ah! Bambi time. All right. Winx. You've been waiting for me, haven't you? Here's the problem. I had it all lined up. This was going to be a double-barreled shot at the whole production we were served up. I think the whole thing's a publicity stunt because the Winx people love publicity, Joel. Okay?
What makes you say that?
They just... Well, you know, press releases, any chance to get a camera in front of them and the Winx people are there. But then I spoke to the back page last night on Fox and very, very good man, Ben Dixon, AFL player for a long, long time and now doing some very good things with Fox Footy down there, knows Debbie and was telling me about her. And I said to him off air, I said, Benny, this is a publicity stunt. Like, she can't be this serious. I mean, how do you put your own horse up for auction and then buy it? I mean, the whole thing reeks of stunt. He goes, Dan, I'm telling you, she would have changed her mind on the spot. So it's a little B Bambi, but I just found the whole thing. It was a Monday. It got on the front page of every paper. Did you not get a little bit of whiff of we're being led down a river here?
A whiff that was very pungent, very, very pungent.
And I thought, hang on, firstly, she owns, we don't know how much of Winx, but a
fair bit.
Well, there's three families involved, right? But I think she might own more than a third. I think she's the front person for this operation.
What you're saying, Dan, is if she wanted to not take it to the sale, she could have broken a deal. She could have said, I'll do it for 3 minutes.
There's a lot of cameras at the Inglis sales. And of course, and then I'm thinking, well, hang on, but aren't you paying a commission when you sell something at auction? You have to pay a commission. But there's no way the Inglis people are charging, because the publicity for them was unbelievable that they got. They led the 6 o'clock news, for goodness sake.
I've just got a few question marks about the breaking down into tears when the hammer falls for 10 million. If you've taken 10 million there, you've probably taken 15, maybe 20. Well, there it is.
You be the judge.
There it is. As I was saying, if you're walking in there thinking or knowing that you've probably got 10, you're not leaving that building without buying that horse.
Just imagine going through this process, right? So the next day you wake up.
And I love how cynical you two are. I'm very comfortable. I thought I was going to be one out here.
But you go into your internet banking, transfer $10 million.
Well, isn't she the heir to the...
Ingham's. Yeah.
It's chicken money.
Yep. So it's dead set. 10 million to her is 10,000.
It'd be
to
a
us.
Fun thing to do, though, wouldn't it? Transfer $10 million.
Tell me what it's like.
Oh. Can you imagine the panic, though? Even if you're a multi-billionaire, that's a tough few seconds, the OSCO transfer, when you see, you know, when you transfer money and you go, geez, I hope I transferred it to the right place.
Exactly.
I think I'd have to write a check. Anyway, no, thank you for coming along with me for the ride on Debbie.
Ben Dixon really got inside your head.
He did, because he's a good fella, and I trust him. And he was telling me other stories, like she's a proper horse racing person.
I'm no doubt.
And well, there you go. So you got a half-assed Bambi from me. Have we got a double Bambi?
Well, this is the Greg Chalmers tweet. Not really a Bambi, but go and check out Greg Chalmers on X, Twitter, whatever it is, because it's Masters Week, and he was just going through some of his, I think it was his first time at Augusta.
So good.
Very, very funny. So do yourself a bit of homework for the viewers.
Well, that was an awkward pause. It was Greg Chalmers' first time at Augusta.
The bullet points were, he tees off, his very first shot, he hits someone.
Yeah.
His second shot. He hits someone. That's how he kicks off his Augusta campaign.
He said that the bloke started to form an egg on his forehead, and it had the dimples from his Pro V1 in his head starting to come out. It's very good. Check it out.
Very good.
Okay. Well, that's not Bambi. That sounds very
similar. No, that was up and about. Yeah.
All right. We are just about done. Please be responsible with your investing over the weekend. But check out, what is it, Joel? The feed?
The feed. So we're all on that. You can search our names to get our bets. You can set up your own profile as well, which you can share your bets, of course. But don't forget to tune into our main show, which will feature after the Matty John show on Thursday night, which is after the Thursday night game, which is the Roosters and
Newcastle
the Knights.
Roosters.
Yep.
Not as great as Melbourne-Brisbane. That'll be the best Thursday night game of the year, but stay tuned.
That's exactly right. And the best tip, of course, take your set before your bet and set a deposit limit.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.